The title to today's devotion is See, the Winter is Past. Christmas is a time of celebration, especially for children. I'm always thrilled to hear when members of our family are growing to be part of a nativity, either in a church or maybe in a school. How we need to hold on to the true Christmas story and celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world in human form, to show us how to live, yet of infinite importance, how he was going to die a death that would pay for the sins of mankind. Although Jesus has paid the price, it is still our responsibility to acknowledge what he has done and bow to him in thankfulness, and ask him into our lives before we can truly reap the benefit of God's free salvation. Once the tinsel is taken down and the Christmas tree removed, we then have the new year to look forward to. It is at this point when we can in our mind do two things. We can either look back or look forward. Looking back, we can reflect to the recent events during the last 2 years of 2020 to 2021. The sadness and grief of losing loved ones in many homes throughout the world during the COVID pandemic. Then look forwards, how we long for life to get back to normal. Yet, I ask myself, will the world we live in be the same? I recall the favourite motto of Captain Tom when he was close to 100 years old, walking a marathon around his garden to raise money for the National Health Service. He often said, as he looked into the future, tomorrow is going to be a good day. How we long for a better tomorrow. Springtime is a time of new beginnings. To wake up one morning to a blanket of snow with a blue sky and the glittering on the snow. Then to see the first white snowdrops buds breaking open through the snow. With a heavy snowfall, it brings with it a pause in our day-to-day activities. The road traffic almost comes to a standstill, bringing a sense of peace and calm for a short while. The white snow shows a sense of purity, hiding the dark surface below. Then as the springtime matures, the snowdrops are soon followed by the yellow daffodils with the first warm rays of sunshine, warming our backs, but also warming our spirits too. It was at the age of 38 my wife sadly lost her first husband. After 10 years being a widow, raising two sons and attending Bible college, a dear friend of hers prophesied these words over her from Songs of Solomon 2:10-13. My beloved spoke to me and said, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig trees form its early fruits. The blossom vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come away, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." After those 10 lonely years Chris and I met, we've been happily married for over 26 years, jointly seeking to serve the Lord both here in the UK and abroad. God is faithful. One passage from the Bible which was an immense benefit to me during a time when I suffered loss was found in Isaiah 43:1-5. "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I know God loves me. I know he was carrying me through those dark valleys. I felt the prayers of God's people bringing peace to my soul. Then, at the end of this chapter, I read in Isaiah 43:26, review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. We are asked to review the past. Why, we may ask? We are to review the past for the Lord. I often quote, you will not find trees growing on a mountaintop. When we are walking through those deep, dark valleys, it is then that we cry out to the Lord for help. It is then that we discover how deep the Father's love is for us as he pulls us up out of the valley and sets our feet on a rock. On each occasion we face trials. As God leads us and brings us through, we are being strengthened in our faith. We grow in wisdom and understanding that will equip us for the task and giftings he has for each one of us. But then when I read further into this chapter, I read in Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I ask myself this question. Is this a word for us today? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Towards the end of the Old Testament books, written by Jeremiah, Amos, Joel, and Habakkuk, to name a few, God was warning the Israelite people, repent, if you don't, I'm going to bring calamity upon you. They did not listen to the words of these prophets and endured 70 years in bondage by being taken captive in the country of the Babylonians. Over the past decades, the world has been in immoral freefall. It is now beginning to implode on itself. Through increasing natural disasters and pestilences, but man is still not listening. If we heed the warning in the Bible and listen to modern day prophets and evangelists, God again is going to continue to show his wrath to our world. Let our prayer be what the prophet said in Habakkuk 3:2-3. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Let us listen to what Peter preached to the people on the day of Pentecost. Let's hear what he said to the crowd. Acts 2:16-21. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God revealed his future plans to Daniel while he was in Babylon, and also in a vision to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation. God is still revealing his plans to his people through visions, often by taking them up into heaven to see the plans he has for the world in our present day. Ivan Tootle had recently written a book called A Journey to Heaven, Hell and Back, where after spending a short time in hell, and then because of his mother's prayer, he describes his experience of being taken up into heaven. God revealed to him what was going to happen in the church very soon, to quote, "The Lord is going to pour his spirit over the world like never before. There are going to be things happening that will shake up many churches. Some churches are going to come up against this move of the Spirit. Some churches will embrace it. Most importantly, there are going to be people with no real church association who are going to not only accept it, but move in it as well. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not going to be limited to the churches. There will be people all over the world who have never heard about the Holy Spirit before, who will be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately will start be performing miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out demonic spirits in Jesus' name, because the Spirit has given them power to do these things. There are going to be people who aren't Christians at all, will be sitting in their home, watching television, or on their computer, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will fall on them. They will give their hearts to the Lord, accept Jesus, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, even though they know nothing about Jesus or the Holy Spirit, except that someone mentioned Jesus before to them." Again, this is not limited to the United States. This will happen globally in every nation around the world. The Holy Spirit will be moving upon these people to convict them of their sins. It will not come from hearing a preacher or even somebody witness to them. It will be just part of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the global glory. This, of course, happened in the 1900s. With the great Welsh revival. Am I prepared for God to pour out his Spirit? Am I ready by the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver folk from the many spiritual bondages that are holding people today? Let's return again to what God says in the book of Habakkuk 1:5-6. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you will not believe even if you were told. What a promise that we can look forward to. Although we can see what is happening around us, are we going to do our part to be God's ambassadors? Are we ready and willing to share God's offer of salvation? Can we again hear what God said in Isaiah 6:8-9? Who shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. Those chosen words spoken by Jesus as he was about to ascend back up into heaven in Matthew 28:18-20 continue to ring strong in my spirit. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Is God calling you for the Great Commission? Let us return again to the verses in Songs of Solomon, Chapter 2, verses 10-13. My beloved spoke and said to me, Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, and the season of the singing has come. The cooing of the doves is heard in the land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise! Come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Are we looking forward to another year with renewed opportunity? Do we believe the winter is past? Do we believe God is doing something new? Do we perceive it? Jesus spoke about the great events which are coming and happening all around us. He is telling us that we can expect great changes in the world around us, and we must be prepared and accommodate these changes. Jesus said in Matthew 24:32-33, "Now listen, learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know the summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door." We cannot afford to waste time waiting for God to when God is going to do it. We need to be preparing and planning for what is about to come. The apostle, having reminded his readers of the past, how God did marvellous things through the leaders and prophets who obediently followed him, he went on to say in Hebrews 12:1-3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Are we in a state of preparedness? Are we ready to analyse what areas of our life are hindering us from wholeheartedly following Jesus? Are we prepared to lay them down? Are we looking up to the one who will prepare and guide us through the next phase of God's plan? Do we have the joy in our spirit and an air of expectancy when we see God shaking everything in the world? Remember, change can be unnerving, but change brings opportunity. Let us grasp this final opportunity, so as when folk begin to wake up what is happening and start looking for answers in earnestness, we can point them to the Prince of Peace. Let us follow Jesus' example. We recall when Jesus was making his way up to Jerusalem to the cross. We read in Luke 9, verse 51, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Is there that Holy Spirit drive in our spirits which compels us with compassion to reach the lost? Are we resolutely following Jesus and wanting to serve him? We read the words prophesied of Jesus in Isaiah 50, verses 6 to 8. "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me." As followers of Jesus, when we earnestly begin to follow the path God has for each one of us, we will come against opposing forces from the evil one. The Apostle Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8-9, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." Remember when Nehemiah was leading and guiding the Israelites while rebuilding the walls of Jericho to protect them from the enemies around. We read in Nehemiah 4:17-18. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. That was Nehemiah. We must not allow Satan to intimidate us. He will seek to stop the rebuilding of God's temple, that is us, his church. We continually need the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, alongside us as we serve to thwart the schemes of the evil one. As I often say, when facing trials and difficulties, keep walking. We are God's army. Are we prepared to do battle? The Apostle Paul encourages us to put on the whole armour of God. Let's remind ourselves of what it says in Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after he has done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. There is one more new beginning we should be looking forward to before receiving the rewards for all that we have done serving our Lord and Saviour. As well as being prepared, having that passion and desire to lead folk to Christ, to nurture and teach them, we should also be looking up and looking forwards with great expectation to meeting Jesus in person. That can happen at any moment. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must be clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Paul again reminds us, in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. What a wonderful future lies ahead for the family of God. We can join with the songwriter, Alan Jackson. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place.
Shout out it.